Let's call upon our God now in prayer as we ask for his blessing upon his word preached today. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we do call on your name today, thanking you for your great mercy. We thank you for your word. And we pray that you would help us now to understand your word, that we would not be confused by it or overwhelmed by it. Grant to us clarity, to have the eyes to see and understand, and bless your servant as well. For Lord, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is our prayer. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I ask you to turn in your Bibles now to the book of Daniel as we continue in our series on this prophet. Daniel chapter 9 is where we're at. We looked recently at the opening part of that chapter, Daniel's prayer, and now we see the answer to that, the answer to his prayer, which is from verses 20 to 27, which will be our text for this morning. So that's our scripture reading, Daniel 9 and verses 20 to 27. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. And that ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless that in our hearing this morning. Well, I encourage you to have that passage open again, Daniel chapter 9, and again from verses 20 to 27. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're considering this morning the 70 weeks. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to be speaking for 70 weeks, which could easily be done depending on one's approach to this chapter. In 400 AD, for example, the church father Jerome listed 9 conflicting interpretations of this passage, but he couldn't decide if any of them were correct. 9 different views, but he felt it unsafe to give a kind of judgment upon it, the opinions of others. because none of them were right in his opinion. Well, that's not going to be our approach this morning. The main thing that we need to remember here, well, there's a couple things that we need to remember here. One is what? It's the context. We need to know the context. That's very important. The revelation was given to Daniel in the first year of King Darius. Daniel had been studying the prophecies of Jeremiah and coming to understand the 70 years. And what do? We see him praying here, praying that these would come to an end according to the revelation of God, coming before God with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, concerned about the future of Israel. And this is a very beautiful prayer. We looked at that last time. Daniel basically acknowledges and confesses Israel's sin, and he includes himself in that. But what will the future of God's people be? That was his concern. What is going to happen to them? They're in exile. How is this all going to work out? So the context, very important. And God answers that prayer by sending Gabriel to tell him what's going to happen to Jerusalem and to the nation. And that really is a message that centers on redemption. What God will do to forgive his people and to bring about that forgiveness of their sins. And that's what we have in verses 20 to 27. And that's really another thing to remember, which is the fulfillment. This passage is messianic through and through. It's not understood by making wild interpretations of dates and using mathematical formulations and coming up with all kinds of crazy things. But it needs to be seen in terms of promise and fulfillment. What the 77s show us is God's faithfulness in times of trouble. He has a bigger plan in mind that we can't see for ourselves. And that's our theme today. The 77s give reassuring hope in times of trouble. And what we mean by that is that God is a covenant-keeping, faithful God who gives assuring, reassuring hope in not only restoring Jerusalem, but also in establishing his kingdom. So 2 points for this morning's message. First of all, the exposition as we seek to understand these words. And then secondly, some application. How do these words speak to us today? So first of all, exposition. Well, this prophecy is set in the context of another encounter with Gabriel. And Gabriel is called a man here because that's how he, as an angel, appeared before Daniel. So he was sent to fly swiftly to him. And his speed is meant to encourage Daniel. And his coming has a lot of significance here. For one, it shows us the reality of heard prayer. What does that tell us? God is telling us that he always hears our prayers immediately, even if his answer delays. He hears our prayers immediately. His heart is immediately with his people. And that's the case here, is that angel was sent to interrupt Daniel in the middle of his prayer and to reassure him that his prayer had been heard in heaven. That's really encouraging when we think about that for ourselves. God is with us. He hears us. Another significant thing noted by the text is that Gabriel is there to help Daniel understand. And it's no wonder that Gabriel had to be sent for even Daniel to understand. This is not an easy passage. And that's an encouragement to us, because if Daniel had a hard time understanding the 70 years and all the significance of that, then we're comforted in knowing that God has sent his Holy Spirit to teach us, to help us understand. And it reminds us of the words of the Apostle Peter when he said that some things that the Apostle Paul wrote were hard to understand. God's given us the Holy Spirit that encourages us as well. Now, it's been suggested that perhaps Daniel had his eyes too much focused upon the 70 years in Jeremiah. And that's all he was looking upon. And this is why the Lord came. He wasn't seeing the bigger picture. Just like we might have the eyes to see a mountain peak, and we don't see beyond that. We just look at the mountain peak that's ahead of us, and there are other mountain peaks ahead. We climb up that mountain, we realize that the view is different. The view is greater than we expected. Daniel had been thinking a lot about the figure 70, which is why he was to think beyond just that figure to the 77s. We'll get to that in a minute. And then we also have the blessing given. The blessing given. And Gabriel gives Daniel a benediction, a blessing that comes from God himself. He says that Daniel is a man greatly loved or highly esteemed. Can you imagine having a greeting like that from the Lord? You're highly esteemed. So encouraging to think that is how the Lord looks upon his people. Based upon the merits of Christ as they pray in Christ's name. So whenever we pray and use that phraseology, coming to the Lord in Jesus' name, this is how the Lord looks upon us. He doesn't send his angel, but he's given us his son. Well, that then brings us to the actual 77s. The reason we say 77s and not 70 weeks as it's translated here is because this is not an ordinary Hebrew word for week. It's an unusual form. And what it really means is that which is divided into seven. Many understand these 77s to be a literal period of 490 years. But how long are these 77s? That's not something that we can be dogmatic about. This is God's time scale. And often numbers like seven are representative of what? Of completeness. These are indefinite numbers and not meant for us to measure time. It's the time that has been decreed by the Lord, because the Lord knows the times and the seasons and the precise length of them, all right? Does that make sense? And he determines time periods, whereas we don't. We live in them. He's the one who determines them. That's what's being represented here. And according to verse 24, if you look at that verse, six things will take place at the end of the 77s for the people and for the holy city. One, transgressions will be finished. Two, sins will be brought to an end. Three, reconciliation will be made for an iniquity. Four, everlasting righteousness will be established. Five, vision and prophecy will be sealed. And six, the most holy will be anointed. Now, it should be almost instinctive for us as Christians to see that in these statements, this is a prophecy about who? This is a prophecy about Christ. He came to die for our sins. Through him, we might die to sin and be raised to a new life of righteousness. And the sealing up of the vision and prophecy is referring to what Christ has done. Since in him all the promises of God are yes and amen, he's the one who has fulfilled the vision and the purpose of it out of the words, the most holy one. That's the last thing that's mentioned there in verse 24. The most holy. How do those find fulfillment in Christ? Well, because as you remember in John 1, how is Jesus described? As one who has dwelt among us. He's tabernacled among us. It's revealing the glory of the most holy place as the Shekinah glory of God was displayed through Christ in his coming. So by the end of the 77s, all these things will take place. And then in verse 25, Gabriel further explains to Daniel the significance of these 77s from the time when the decree for the rebuilding of Jerusalem was published until the coming of the Messiah. There will be 69 sevens. These are to be thought of to be as two periods, one of seven sevens and another of 62 sevens. This is clear and genuine encouragement for Daniel because he, as you know, longed for the rebuilding of Jerusalem, for the rebuilding of the walls. And that would be difficult because there would be opposition. And we've looked at that some years ago in the book of Nehemiah. And then in verse 26, the period of 62 sevens will be followed by the last week when the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Gabriel uses the vocabulary of violent penal death. And here we're reminded of Isaiah's prophecy. You may remember that from Isaiah 53. Very familiar passage, Isaiah 53, verse 8, where it says, "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people and was stricken." This event, mysterious to Daniel, became clear, as we know from the Gospels. For the Messiah was crucified. During this same period of sevens, Jerusalem and the rebuilt temple would be destroyed, which entails the desolations at the end of verse 27. And then verse 27 seems to refer to the same final week as it begins with the word then. Who is the one who shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering? Well, if we're sensitive to the structure of all of this, the meaning may become a little clearer because it's in keeping with the general style of Daniel's revelation. It contains a progressive unfolding of the future. And so in each verse in verses 24 to 27 is set in the same overall time frame of the 77s. Verse 4 is what covers the entire period. Verse 25 divides the 69 sevens. Verse 26 describes the final seven in indefinite terms. And then verse 27 describes the final seven in more detail. Now, if this is our understanding of the structure, then the first half of verse 27 refers to Christ, and the second half refers to the destruction of the city and the abominations that would follow in the time of 70 AD when Jerusalem would fall. In the middle of that final week, Christ died for his people. He brought an end to the sacrifices. And within four decades of the Messiah's rejection, the soil in which that temple was built, which was so loved by Daniel, would again be defiled by pagans. Jerusalem would be desolate. And that's exactly how Jesus interpreted these events as he made that prediction about Jerusalem falling. It would be coming because they rejected the Messiah. And so the question is, did Gabriel come to Daniel because he had not quite understood what the Messiah would do? Was he only focused on the immediate and not on the bigger picture? Is this why heaven was so swift in revealing these things to Daniel? And it would seem so. And if this interpretation is correct, it's not too difficult to see why heaven was so concerned to communicate to Daniel. It was right that he should long for the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple worship reinstituted, and yet the Lord wanted Daniel to see beyond these things to what they foreshadowed, however painful that might have been. God's ultimate purpose was not a temple made by hands and a holy place entered but once a year. His Son was the place that people were to come to. And his sacrifice was one in which would bring true forgiveness. So that, in a grand sweep, is an explanation of this text. Well, it brings us to our second point. How does this apply to us? Well, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is God's judgment is just as severe today as it was in the Old Testament. God hasn't changed. He is just as holy. And the events that have been fulfilled and the events that will be fulfilled show us that He is just. The wicked will not go unpunished. Nothing is going to be hidden from Him. Hebrews 4, verse 13 says that there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. And the events that Daniel lamented in his own day will be repeated in the future. Sad to say, that's what happened. For we know history fulfilled much of this. But history is moving us closer and closer to that final day, the day of judgment, the day of the Lord. That's the bad news. God will require of everyone for the sins that they have committed. But here's the good news. It's that Jesus Christ has fulfilled all prophecy. You look at verse 24 again. And there we see that everything that is predicted there has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. He has come to make an end of our sins. Christ Jesus has given Himself for us to reconcile us with God. And the day will come when God will bring an end to the end of this world in the final consummation. And we will have perfect fellowship with God. Do you believe that today? You know, you look at these verses. Is this ruler who's predicted here, this prince, is he your Savior? Can you see immediately how Jesus is really the fulfillment of this prediction of the 77s? That's the main application of this passage today for our hearts. And what a relief that should be for us today as we leave this parking lot, as we go back to our homes, as we come into this week, we can come in that knowledge of knowing that Christ's work is for us. So that's one application that we can have from this, which is clear. Another one is a challenge to our expectations. It's a challenge to our expectations and the way that God works in our lives. You know, we live in a day of instant when we expect everything to happen to us now, if not sooner. You know, we want instant cash, instant green lawns, instant success, And when things don't go right for us, we're very impatient. And we can complain. And we lash out at others. And we get irritated and frustrated. We want change now. We want people to change now. We want our situation to change now. And this passage reminds us that the Lord doesn't work on our timetable. It's His perfect sovereignty. He has a time scale, and it is much greater and grander than us. And He does this for us and for our sanctification. He works sometimes at what seems like a snail's pace. Or someone once said, the mills grind slow, but they grind exceedingly small. What does that mean? Well, it means that He makes sure that His projects are done properly. The wheels grind slow, but they grind exceedingly small. Before I could use another illustration, it's like a monarch butterfly. Some of our great students have been studying that this year, this school year. There are different stages of the monarch. And it begins with a tiny egg that grows into a caterpillar. And that caterpillar grows so fast that it sheds its skin about 5 times before it is ready to become a chrysalis. And the chrysalis holds the developing butterfly becoming a beautiful green color with gold markings. It becomes clear, and you can see the butterfly all scrunched up inside that chrysalis. And then it comes out in fullness. Now, doesn't that apply to us today, where we expect instant? We want things fixed right away. We want God to change someone right away. Or we want our health situation to change right away. Or we want our immediate release from the struggles of right now. But it's like a butterfly. Do we think it would be kind to a monarch to have it slip out fast and easy? Might seem kind. But actually, the struggle of getting out of that chrysalis is very important for its development. If it didn't have the work of pushing and wiggling to get out, its wings wouldn't work. For all the struggle forces the fluid into the wings, which let the wings spread out so that butterfly can fly. And for us, the struggle takes a lifetime, our lifetime, to be complete. All of God's work through the Spirit and the work of conforming us to His Son is a work in progress until we die. But take heart, He who has begun a good work in you will bring it until completion, until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's come to our God now in prayer. Our gracious Father, we do thank You for Your word, which has been given for our instruction. And though difficult and hard to understand, we do thank You that You have a greater purpose in all. We thank You for the fulfillment of much of what is here in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can leave this service being assured that He has satisfied Your justice, paid for our sins, and made us clean, But also, Lord, help us to take to heart how we need to be patient under your leading in our lives, which is not always easy. It's difficult, but it does have a grander purpose. Help us to be encouraged in that as we're sanctified by your Holy Spirit. We pray all of this, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.